are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thanks for joining me once again on this Monday. It is a mailbag Monday, so segments 1, 2, and 3 are going to be all of your questions. We got email questions, we got Twitter questions to get to. I'm not going to be able to get to all of them. I got a ton that were dropped on me, so I do appreciate everyone who is sending in questions here, and people are getting pumped on the draft, man. So this is an exciting time. It's draft season. We are officially in April. I'm going to get to as many of these questions as I can. Of course, we've got Winky Wednesday. Actually, I believe it's Winky Tuesday this week coming up. We're going to have to drop it a day early, so we're going to get to some of these questions that I can't get to today with Nick as well on the show this week. And later on in the week, I'm going to drop my 49ers big board. I'm going to go at least the top 10, you know, cover everybody that the 49ers would be taking at pick number 9, and even if they drop down a little bit and traded down in the draft. And so I'll talk about the tiers in the top, a couple of tiers I see in this draft. And I think I have a pretty good idea of how I like the board to shake out if I was stacking it for the 49ers in round 1. Don't forget to subscribe to the show, iTunes, Spotify, rate, review the show. Thank you very much for all the people who have been rating and reviewing on iTunes. LockedOn49ers.com, all kinds of other content going up besides the podcast, but you can find the podcast there as well. Latest from Chris Wilson at LockedOn49ers.com asking the question, is Odell Beckham worth it when he's asking for $20 million a year as a wide receiver? Find that and more at LockedOn49ers.com. And with that, it's mailbag time. So where do we go first? I guess we'll start with emails. And one particular email I got this week, I want to shout out Shannon. She actually didn't have a question or anything for the mailbag, but she just had some very nice things to say about the podcast. A female 49ers fan from the UK, and get this, also plays American football over there near Liverpool, plays the offensive line, and she showed me a picture of her squad. They've kind of got the 49ers alt-black unis going on, and so good look there. Offensive lineman Shannon from the UK, so shout out to Shannon. Thank you very much for the email. So all the females, just so you know, automatic, you're going to get your tweet or email on the show for a mailbag segment. Need to hear from more ladies here on the podcast. Let's move it along to Sean via email. He says, I know it's early, but Doomerville's release, a sign of confidence in Ronald Blair. He often gets overlooked, but I think he's got enough sand in the pants to be a base down Leo who can stop the run. We saw his pass rushing prowess when he came back for the Giants game, and with the Buckner Day, Thomas Armstead manning the interior, it may just be a matter of Blair focusing only on playing Leo. Thank you for the email, Sean, and I do agree that Ronald Blair does get overlooked oftentimes, and that's his strength, is being sort of an undersized, quicker. I still think and here's the problem, is they've got more of the same guy. Ronald Blair, I think, should be kind of the same position that Armstead and Thomas are playing as well. So they're so stacked with those guys who are undersized interior-style rushers. He's not your classic outside edge rusher, but he can get to the quarterback, and he's got quicks, he's got good feet, and he can move in small spaces. He's sort of he's not at this level, but he's more of an Aaron Donald type of player than he is, say, a Von Miller type of player, you know, that's coming off the edge. So Ronald Blair, love Ronald Blair, and he should get some more run, kind of gets lost in this group, I agree, but he shouldn't really affect what the 49ers are trying to do at that weak side defensive end spot. Just another guy who they can bring in on the rotation and get after the quarterback, but you're right. Ronald Blair does need to be called out more often because I think he's a good player and especially a good rotational player who should fit right in with what's going on already. And you're right. He's big enough to play some base down end, but I think he should probably kick kind of inside, can also rush from the outside. Again, very similar to what's going on with Eric Armstead and Solomon Thomas. They're all different players, but I think they kind of all play the same position. Sticking with the email, this one's from Rodney. Loved your mock draft and the John Ledyard podcast. Thank you very much, Rodney. Number 9 pick, personally, I am so torn between Tremaine Edmonds and Roquan Smith. Yeah, I agree, and I get it because they're very different styles and very different players. The 49ers, look, they're going to have a good player, so just draft a good player and go. That's the good thing about being at the number 9 pick, is they're going to have a good player, and hopefully they get that right, and whoever they pick at whatever position is a stud for the 49ers. But I think those two names might be a couple of them the 49ers are juggling with on draft day if they stay put at pick number 9 or if they even fall back a little bit and those guys are still on the board. So his questions are a couple parts here, as Rodney's questions tend to be. Should the Niners draft Tremaine Edmonds? Does he play the strong side? If so, what happens to Eli Harold? What are Eli Harold's strengths at this point? So let's see. Tremaine Edmonds, I think he should play strong side linebacker because I don't think he's the instinctive sort of middle linebacker type, although I like him in coverage a little bit more, and the strong side backer isn't asked to be in coverage as much. So I do like that aspect of Tremaine Edmonds. I love him on tight ends because he's got that athleticism and can cover, and he has the length and the height to cover tight ends. So he's unique in that way, but I don't like his instincts as just a pure linebacker manning the middle or the weak side. So, you know, that's sort of the both sides of that with Tremaine Edmonds. What happens to Eli Harold? Eli Harold, he's a try-hard player, and for as athletic as he is, and he looks the part, and height, weight, speed-wise, you would think he'd be better at getting after the quarterback. He just can't get home to the quarterback, and I think that limits how valuable he is to the football team, because if you're playing the strong side spot or you're playing the Leo spot, you got to get after the quarterback. And Eli Harold right now, to me, is more of like a two-down, early-down, run-stuffing type of strong side linebacker. And so if you drafted Edmonds, yeah, Eli Harold would lose his starting job if Edmonds was playing strong side linebacker. What are your thoughts on defensive tackle Earl Mitchell? Reason I ask, in my opinion, a dominant defensive tackle makes any defense tick. Kind of like how Shanahan loves his center on offense. My dad would tell me, if you collapse the pocket, where does the QB run? That's a good question. I think Earl Mitchell, I think they drafted DJ Jones last year to be the guy who would replace Earl Mitchell. The nose tackle is just not on the field enough. I mean, what, 40, maybe 50% of the time? The team is in nickel so often, and I already talked about all these guys who are sort of pass-rushing interior defensive linemen. Earl Mitchell, I think, gets lost, and I don't think you can put – it's not a first-round need. Even if the 49ers had zero nose tackles, probably wouldn't be someone who – I wouldn't be clamoring necessarily for Vita Vea or something in the draft, even though I think he's a really good player. It's just not on the field that much. An early down run stuffer, and with how often teams are spreading it out and throwing the ball and in nickel packages – it's just not that important to have. You just can't spend a lot on that position, but it's nice to have a really good player there, and I think the 49ers are high. And I liked what I saw from DJ Jones last year, so he might be the replacement for Earl Thomas eventually there as that one technique. Thanks for the questions, Rodney, and I do want to remind everyone that if you want to be involved in any of these mailbag segments or just drop a line and say hi like Shannon did, email lockedon49ers@gmail.com or hit me up on Twitter @BDPeacock. Let's move it along to Kyle, who says, Happy Easter. Happy Easter, Kyle. Coming up to the draft, I have a couple hot takes I'd like your opinion on. Okay, this is going to get scorching, everybody. If you're driving your car, might want to pull over. Kyle's got some hot takes pumping your way. Number one, Cardinals will leapfrog the Bills for the number 4 quarterback off the board. And number 2, I think Barkley disappoints his draft position. I don't think he is great between the tackles and think he will average 2.7 yards per carry. Wow, okay. Even through the yards per carry out there. I agree that just as a pure runner between the tackles, absolutely Saquon Barkley is overrated at this point. I've talked about it on the show before where Barkley is by far worse as a between the tackles pure runner right now than Zeke Elliott and Todd Gurley were and Leonard Fournette were that were coming out of the draft. And really even almost worse than, even though he's bigger, Christian McCaffrey was a better runner between the tackles in college than Saquon Barkley. But the thing that Barkley has is that explosive ability, that ability to get outside and bounce and make big plays. He's a dynamic player in space, and he's an awesome receiver, better receiver than all of those players I just mentioned too. So there's both sides of that. I talked about on my scouting report of Saquon Barkley. You can find that at lockedon49ers.com. And I talked about it on the show as well. He is almost bust-proof because he has that ability as a receiver. And that's why one of the comparisons I gave to him, even though he's built much different, is Reggie Bush. Because Reggie Bush did not live up to being the number 2 overall pick as a running back, but he's a pretty good player in the NFL and had some good seasons running the ball, but he had a lot of value as a receiver. And so I think that's what Saquon Barkley might end up being if he doesn't just... And he's got all the talent and the skills to be a better inside runner because he's 230 pounds and he will run people over sometimes. It's just, he's not, he's not consistent at finding the first hole that's open and just taking what's blocked and getting those 3 or 4 yards. And so he just bounces everything. If he's just more more instinctive inside and just puts his foot in the grass and goes, I think he can be a great NFL running back, and he might be the best back in the league if he gets that, you know, if he gets that pounded into him by whatever coach, and they will pound that into his head as soon as he's drafted. So, you know, 2.7 yards per carry might be a little low, but I get what you're saying. And if he gets drafted number two overall, I think he could disappoint a little bit. And the first one, Cardinals leapfrogging the Bills. Absolutely. I think the Cardinals are absolutely going to be on the phone I don't know how high you go, but the Cardinals know they're not going to sit there at 15 and get the fourth quarterback and falling all the way to them through the Bills or any other teams that might even jump over both of those teams. So, yeah, if you're the Cardinals, you absolutely have a plan on draft day. If you like the fourth quarterback, you're calling teams, absolutely, especially after it gets basically, I think, pick number four. Because if you're the Bills or you're the Cardinals and you can afford to move up that far, you got to be thinking, okay, well, the Broncos are sitting at 5. They might take a quarterback. And if the Cleveland Browns take a quarterback at number 1, number 4 is the spot I got to go to guarantee I'm going to get this quarterback. And maybe it's too rich. Maybe it costs too much. So you sit there and wait. And then maybe, you know, the Broncos pass and now you're sitting at pick, you know, you're looking at pick 6. And maybe it goes all the way to pick 9 before it's not too expensive for one of those teams to move up. But I agree. I don't see the Bills or the Cardinals standing still. The fourth quarterback is not going to make it to pick 12 is what I'm trying to say. So the Bills have got to move up anyways because they know that the Cardinals are also trying to move up to get that quarterback most likely. Let's move on to Twitter. Let's start with Richard. Watching Jimmy, he has great instincts and decision-making ability, a quick release, and accuracy on short throws. However, his lower body mechanics suck, evidenced in his deep throws. He doesn't plant his front foot. He skips into his throws, and deep passes are often inaccurate. Thank you for the question, Richard. And there is some, I'm just looking at the results. There's absolutely something to that. Going to Pro Football Focus and looking at the end of season grades, Jimmy Garoppolo ranked number 1. He ranked first in regular season rankings for all quarterbacks in the league on short throws. But when it came to deep throws, he was 28th in the league amongst quarterback in those throws. Part of that, I think to me personally, part of that is probably due to the wide receiver core he was throwing to. He didn't have his number 1 receiver out there. The way he throws is so good for getting rid of the ball quickly. And you're right with his stride. It's just like it's almost an all arm throw, and that's why he gets it out of there so quickly. It's like a dart thrower, like a second baseman turning a double play or something. It's a very quick movement. It's not an elongated. It's not a big stride, big wind up. But it's part of what makes him so accurate and so deadly on the short to intermediate range throws. I think he could be better on those throws. I don't know if it's just something super simple like working with his stride and getting everything together and getting more lower body into those throws because it wasn't completely inaccurate. He didn't really even attempt that many long throws either. And he wasn't throwing to his number 1 receiver. A big receiver can help pull down some balls down the field. So there's a lot of things coming together on that. I don't think it's going to completely hinder Jimmy Garoppolo from reaching his ceiling, as Richard talked about here on Twitter, but it's a part of his game he could improve from the small sample he showed with the 49ers, but I've seen him make some awesome throws, some big-time throws in both the NFL and back in college, so he can do it. So maybe it's just consistency, maybe it's just his feel for the game, he wanted to get the ball out quickly, maybe they were purposely getting the ball out quickly so he didn't get killed behind the offensive line for the 49ers last year. So there's a lot of things coming together. And I'm going to hold judgment to where we get a bigger sample and watch him this season to see. And if there is some mechanical things he can work on, I'm sure he will try to do so. But just from a pure throwing standpoint, I really can't say that I have any problems with how Jimmy Garoppolo throws the ball at all. All right, I got to start knocking these out quicker. I'm not going to get to hardly any of these questions. Let's go to Free McGee on Twitter. With all these quarterbacks clogging up round 1, which round 1 player dropping into early round 2 would the 49ers consider trading up for? This kind of ties in with Mike's question, who asks, how many slots could Lynch move up by trading 59 and 74? Would love him to grab a stud who surprisingly falls out of round 1. And he names Daniels, Oliver, and Price as those players he'd like to move up for. Let's see. So moving up from 59, yeah, if they use their second third rounder, which is pick 74, Those combined is enough points. You basically get up to the top of the second round somewhere. One of the problems is there's a bunch of teams picking at the top that already have a ton of picks. So I don't know if they would be, you know, if they need quantity, basically. Like the Browns have two picks in the top five. Colts have two picks. So those are four of the top five picks in the second round right there. Yeah, you can basically get up into the 30s from 59 with that third round pick. And so the players to consider moving up for, if they do fall there, maybe wide receiver, Cortland Sutton, something like that. I could see that being one of the players that that I think might be worth trading up for, maybe a stud offensive lineman that they see that might fall out of the first round. I think cornerback or pass rusher are the most likely, though. And just looking at day two, the 49ers, of all the positions, even considering offensive line and wide receiver, the two positions that the 49ers, I'm pretty sure, are not going to leave round three without drafting is they're going to have a cornerback already selected and an edge rusher already selected. So that could be round one and two. That could be both picks in round three or something like that. But, you know, if it's between a wide receiver and an offensive lineman and a corner, I think they're going to go corner because I don't think they can go into day three and not have taken those two positions. But if they do get into day three and they still haven't drafted a wide receiver, I think there's going to be some talented guys there, and I think they're going to be okay. And maybe a similar story on the offensive line, even more so wide receiver, though, in my opinion. But there could be a stud player that is worth moving up for at the same time that they think is a future difference maker at the position and worth moving up for. But I would guess it would be corner or pass rusher. And so, yeah, the names listed there, Oliver, I think Isaiah Oliver from Colorado, the cornerback, and then Carlton Davis from Auburn. Those two corners would be the big body, perfect fit at wide receiver. I think those guys are going to go top 50, so those would be players the 49ers might need to move up a little bit for in the second round if they do start to fall a little bit there. And then we heard from John Ledyard, and just judging by what the 49ers are doing and bringing in a bunch of pass rushers, you know, Landry's not going to fall out of the first round. I mean, it's in the draft is crazy. The craziest mock draft you see is not as crazy as the actual draft will end up being. But, yeah, so maybe Marcus Davenport, maybe even Landry falls. Maybe they draft another player at nine and Landry falls all the way out of the first round or toward the end of the first round and they decide to put a couple picks together and go up and get him there. But maybe Josh Sweat is that guy. So, yeah, a couple names there that I would consider probably pass rusher corner to move up for in round two. Let's move on to CNick on Twitter. What are your thoughts on taking cornerback in the second, third, or fourth round? I really think Josh Jackson out of Iowa has starter potential, has had 27 passes defensed and 8 picks last year, 6'1", and only a one-year starter, by far the best hands and defenders in the draft. Yeah, and he will. He's a good zone defender, and he will read the quarterback, and he will go get the ball and attack the ball and try to make a big play, and he's really good at taking the ball away. Another player potentially that could fall out of the first round there, Josh Jackson out of Iowa, corner. But again, yeah, I think second or third round. I think the 49ers will have a corner before they get to the fourth round, to answer your question there. You are listening to the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember to listen to our daily national show, Locked On NFL, hosted by Matt Williamson, part of the number one local daily sports podcast network, Locked On NFL Draft. There's Locked On Warriors if you're a local NBA fan. We've got every team covered and, of course, some Major League Baseball teams joining the fray here at the Locked On Podcast Network. All right, next up, Crazy Joe on Twitter. What do you think about Mike Gesicki in the second? Word is he's a red zone threat that can line up as a receiver, keeping Kittle on the field on those downs. Joe, I love the thought about Mike Gesicki because you're not drafting a straight up tight end. You're drafting basically a big wide receiver, and there might not be a better red zone target in the draft. So if you're trying to improve the red zone offense, he's a player that can give you that red zone value, and he has value between the 20s as a receiver as well. He can be on the field. He can be a big slot guy. You move him out. He could probably play inline a little bit, although he's going to need to work on that part of his game in the NFL if he wants to be a true tight end. And he's as athletic as a wide receiver anyway. So, I mean, the dude ran 4.5, 40 at the combine. I think he jumped 42 inches in the vertical or something like that. He had a crazy workout as tight ends go at the combine. If he's still there, pick 59 in the second round, maybe he's a guy the 49ers are targeting in a move up because I think he will be one of the top 50 picks. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets taken in the middle of the first round, actually, as athletic of a freak as he is, someone who's a really good natural receiver at Penn State. So he's displayed everything you need on film for being someone who's a weapon in the passing game. Not necessarily, but I think it'd be really a great fit for Kyle Shanahan, actually. And he's not been talked about enough for the 49ers because, yeah, like you said, the red zone value. But Kyle Shanahan has proven that he knows how to use players and use their strengths. And I think he would have no problem having a big bodied move tight end to play with and utilize in his offense. So, yeah, Mike Gesicki might be one of those sort of second round sleeper players for the 49ers. Let's move along to Ryan on Twitter, who asked this question. Do you believe Landry is essentially the same player as Eli Harold? I'm asking for a very dumb friend so he can stop saying it. Ryan, thank you for the question in the email. Eli Harold making a couple appearances on the podcast from these questions here. And do you believe Landry is essentially the same player as Eli Harold? No, I do not believe that. There's one massive difference between those two players. One is that Harold Landry is going to make his money getting to the quarterback. It's what he's done in college, at Boston College. Even in an injured 2017, he could still get after the quarterback, and he was all over quarterbacks and had a massive production as a junior. He's got athleticism. He's got some moves to get to the quarterback, although he could improve his counters and his hand usage and some things like that. But he can get around the corner. He can go sack the quarterback, which is why you would be drafting Harold Landry. Eli Harold, both at Virginia in college and in the NFL, has never been the player that could get home and get to the quarterback. That's been his big downfall as a player. Despite being a high energy player, a high effort player, and having the height, weight, speed, and what you would think the requisite tools would be to be a very good edge player, he has not been able to get to the quarterback in his career in college or the NFL. That's the big difference between Landry and Eli Harold, in my opinion. So yeah, Ryan, go find your friend, play him that, and tell him he's a big old dumbass. No, your friend's okay. Tell him to send me a question for next week's mailbag episode, and he can question probably some of your calls, because you know what? I think we've all sometimes got some bad calls in there. You know, it happens. Let's move along to Brandon. Thoughts on Anthony Miller not really buying the pure slot receiver label. Dude can win one-on-ones on the outside and make some crazy catches, and his route running is really nice. Seems like a perfect fit for Shanahan. You think he could fall to one of our third-round picks? Yes, I think he could, and I think it might be even likely that he's still on the board in the third round. Anthony Miller and Michael Gallup are two players I really like. You know, and I've been talking a lot about big-bodied wide receivers and improving in the red zone. Look, just draft good players. Drafting a tall guy that sucks is not going to help the 49ers. Draft some good receivers. Players like Anthony Miller and Michael Gallup are maybe not height, weight, speed freaks, but they're just really good football players. They already look like pros on the college level. I love the competitiveness and some of the catches in traffic that Anthony Miller can make. He can get open. He can play in the slot. He can play outside. I really like Anthony Miller. Third round would be a fantastic spot for him. Michael Gallup is another guy I feel almost the same about. They just have traits that good receivers have. Jeremy has a question about receivers. Which middle to late round receiver fits Coach Shanahan's system as a red zone target? That's hard to say, because Shanahan himself was asked the question about the red zone, and basically he said it's okay sometimes to have one-dimensional players, but he made it seem like he wants to draft a receiver not just because he's a big dumb goon, but because he can give you value between the 20s as well, but also help out in the red zone. So he needs to be someone who's got the quicks, and that's one thing Coach Shanahan likes is quick receivers. They have to be able to separate, get open. Part of separating is having the ball skills and having some size to catch some balls down the field and catch 50-50 balls, and the 49ers don't have a lot of those guys right now. So if I was to guess the type of player that Kyle Shanahan would draft that's a bigger-bodied wide receiver, it would be someone who can give value elsewhere in between the 20s and not just a big, tall, jump ball wide receiver for the red zone. That could be even a tight end-ish type of wide receiver. Maybe a big wide receiver they kind of convert to a semi-quasi tight end, or maybe just a pure tight end like Mike Gesicki we talked about earlier. Obviously, he's not going late rounds, but I'm going to say Alan Lazard out of Iowa State would be my guy, because he tested pretty well at the combine, and so he showed enough athleticism, and he's got great ball skills, big body player. He's a power forward type, but could be someone that they asked to gain 10 pounds and play that similar role. Maybe a move tight end role, be a big slot type of wide receiver. So I'm going to give you that name. Alan Lazard is one to look out for in the later rounds. Let's move on to Roberto. Hey, Peacock, big fan of the show. Thank you very much, Roberto. I appreciate that. I listen to every show. What do you think about Ryan Nall, running back, Oregon State? Dude's a beast. He can do it all. Just check the tape. I think he would flourish in Shanahan's offense. What do you think? I've watched some Ryan Nall tape, and I got to be honest, Roberto, I was not impressed. He's, 6'2", 230, something like that. Workout numbers weren't great either, so kind of adds to what I saw on tape. He's an odd player because he's a big-bodied running back. He's a good receiver, so I think his role, and I think he's going to be available pretty late in the draft. I'd be surprised if he goes higher than round five, probably more like a sixth, seventh round pick, maybe even an undrafted guy. So at that point, you know, hey, he could provide you some value if he even makes the football team. But 6'2", 230, not supremely athletic, but he's got some good vision once he gets into space. The thing I don't like is he's a big running back, but he's not that good in short areas, in compact spaces and kind of between the tackles. Even though he's got some power once he gets going, he's kind of long-legged, so he needs to get those strides going to develop his power, and he's got good vision once he does get moving. But what I see in Ryan Nall is someone who could be maybe a third-down type of running back who's a bigger body player who can pass block, and he's a good receiver. And so I see a player they probably tried to convert to maybe a fullback/H-back tight end type of a role. So maybe a bigger bodied, like an undersized tight end type of player that can move around and go out on the wing and do some things, maybe be a fullback, maybe be a part-time running back as well. But I don't think he's going to go super high in the draft. Michael asks, through the first three rounds, where do you think the biggest drop-offs in talent will be? Ooh, that's a good question. I think, obviously, if the 49ers don't have a pass rusher by the end of round two, I think there's going to be kind of slim pickings, and they're going to have to draft a player that's dropped because of some other weird reasons, whether it's off-field stuff or not very athletic but was productive, or the opposite, very athletic, not productive, or maybe injury history, something like that. After round two, it's just there's not a lot of guys. So that's why I think that might be a position they try to move up for in the second round or just take in round one, period, and get a player there. Cornerback is an interesting one because it's really deep, but at the same time, the 49ers have a big drop. So who's going to be still on the board late in the fourth round versus early in the third round? Last year, there was a massive run. As deep, last year was crazy deep with corners, and there was an insane run. Half of the guys selected, I think half of the players selected in round three were cornerbacks last year, which is insane. I don't know what the exact number was, pretty close to that. And so that could happen again this year where there's a lot of these guys that you like, but Quentin Meeks I don't think is going to be there in the fourth round. I see him there in a lot of mock drafts. He's not going to be there. And so I think there's a sweet spot there. I think the 49ers can find a really good corner late two, early three. If you try to wait to round four, you might not find your guy, which is why I said earlier, maybe wide receiver is the position the 49ers can still wait on, and they're looking day three for one of those players. And offensive line might be that position as well. All right, I think that's going to do it. Got to a lot of them. I could have gotten to more. There's still a lot more questions. Winky Tuesday. Is it Tuesday or Wednesday this week? I don't know. One of those, whenever Nick comes on, we're going to get to some more of these. Got a lot of questions still, and feel free to keep bringing those in. Hit me up on Twitter at BDPeacock. Email the show, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. Thank you so much for everybody getting involved with these mailbag segments. They're always a lot of fun, and I'm going to keep doing these all the way up to the draft. So I'll talk to you guys next time right here on Locked On 49ers.